Fans, great to have you back on this Saturday night. Don't forget Georgie Brothers in South San Francisco, a better place to buy furniture. You can go there. They've reopened by appointment only, so many people can come in the store one time. But Monday right through Saturday, 9 to 5, and then on Sunday, 11 to 5. So Tom Georgie, Rob Georgie, Steve and Michael Passer and everybody else down there, they're back in the store and can't wait to see you. So it's been great having them support our show. But now, by appointment only, you can come in and actually see the beautiful furniture and the beautiful 50,000-square-foot showroom at Georgie Brothers in South San Francisco. So just want to let everybody know that. Now joining us, and we had him on a couple of weeks ago, and he said, I'm going to be very busy in this next couple of weeks, and he has been. He's a senior baseball writer. I consider him the draft expert, the baseball draft expert in the country, and that is Keith Law. Keith, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Well, pretty good. How you feeling? Here we go. This week, starting on Wednesday, the draft starts Wednesday and Thursday, the five rounds. So how are you? Are you getting ready for it?
I'm ready for it to start, and I'm ready for it to be over, too.
Okay, all right. Well, a little bit of news out here in the Bay Area. The A's decided to pay all their minor leaguers, which they were the only team that were not going to pay their minor leaguers, and they weren't going to release them either. And there's a lot of speculation in the paper that said, well, if they didn't do that, these $20,000 free agents who would be available after the fifth round wouldn't think kindly of the A's. So the A's made a reversal on that position. Do you feel that was a major factor for them?
I think the number one factor is just public pressure and the fact that essentially no other teams followed suit. You know, they were the ones, they were the first mover, and they dipped their toes in the water and discovered that it was really hot. And there was so much criticism. There's so much criticism of the Nationals, and all they were doing was cutting the absolutely embarrassing amount of money they're paying their minor leaguers. They were cutting at $100 a week from $400 to $300. There's such a negative outcry from fans, from folks like myself, and especially from players. And I think in the case of the A's, it was the same thing. They were embarrassed. They were embarrassed that they were the only team to do this. It made them seem cheap. And when their owner is a multi-billionaire, it's a pretty bad look to be nickel and diming players and not even giving them the right to shop their services elsewhere to try to go make some money from another team that might be interested.
Mm. Keith Law with us, as I say, with The Athletic. I consider him the draft expert. Now, who knows if we'll have baseball or not? What do we know? But we know that there will be a taxi squad. And I saw today or the other day, I read somewhere that they're thinking of expanding the fall league because a lot of these players, these top prospects, are going to lose a lot of playing time. Do you see that coming in the fall, that we're going to see an expanded fall league?
I had that. The first person even suggested that to me was Scott Boras back in mid-March. And I agreed with him then, and I agree now. If we can do it safely, and those games don't really get fans anyway. I go to them a lot, but it's essentially just the players, the scouts, myself, and a couple other members of the media, and maybe some family and friends. So they could very easily expand the fall league, and they're not really losing anything. They lose money on that league anyway. It's a developmental league. So for them to just say, well, we're going to just turn the lights on for another couple of weeks, potentially make up for all of this lost playing time, I think it's a win-win. I think it's great for the players who do get paid a minor amount, but they get paid. But they also get that development time because there are a lot of players. You and I talked about Marco Luciano and a number of these other very young, Alex Canario, very young players in the Giants system. They have to play. They don't get better by not playing. They get older, but they don't get better. And I think if they do a league like that, you'll see a lot of teams just say, we're simply sending our top prospects, as opposed to in the past where it was, well, who needs playing time and we don't want to overpitch anybody. This year it would be, we're just sending our top prospects, in which case the fall league would be the best it had ever been.
Mm, it'd be amazing to be down there to see that. Now, before we get to the draft, which starts on Wednesday, and it's a five-round draft and it concludes on Thursday, I see some of the high school players are withdrawing from the draft and saying they're going to take the college offers. There's a question of deferred money now being a question as a negotiating issue. What's going on with some of these players who are going back to college or deciding to go to college?
So I think there are four players now who've said they've actually withdrawn from the draft. You can write a letter to Major League Baseball and request that your name be removed. Then you can't be drafted at all. In all of those cases, they were players who weren't going in the first round anyway. Dylan Cruz was the one I tweeted about the other night. He's going to go to LSU. He had first-round expectations, but he wasn't going to go in the first round. So for him, I think it was, if nothing else, it was a financial decision. I can go to LSU, one of the best baseball programs in the country, in the best baseball conference in the country. And if I go there and perform for 3 years, I will be a first-rounder. I could be a top-10 pick in 3 years. So he loses out on a little bit of money this year, but not first-round money that he might have expected coming in. And he's essentially betting on himself and saying, if I go to college, maybe in 3 years, I'm a $3 million player. I think that was generally true for the guys who pulled themselves out. They realized they weren't going to get enough money for it to matter. Now, if that were my kid, I might still say, you know what, just stay in the draft and see what happens. There's no downside to getting drafted. The worst thing that happens is you either don't get picked or you get picked and someone doesn't offer you enough money. Well, so what? To me, that's not really a big deal. But a lot of kids seem to see it maybe as a point of pride to just say, nope, I'm not even going to get drafted. I'm just going to go to school.
Now, deferred money, that came up as well, that phrase.
Yes. And so it's even less lucrative for players to get drafted this year because a lot of their money, their bonus money is going to be deferred into 2020 and even, into 2021, even into 2022. And so, you know, getting, look, $2 million is still $2 million, but you're not getting it right away. And if you really think you've got a chance to boost your stock and you can go to college and come out, maybe Austin Hendrick, who's still in the draft, but he's a high school senior in this draft who turns 19 next week. He could go to college and come back out in 2 years. So if he's going to be in the 2022 draft anyway, what's the real value in him taking maybe less money than he was hoping for when a portion of it is going to be deferred into 2022 no matter what?
Makes sense. All right. So there we have those caveats as we head into the draft. Now, of course, the first pick has been Torkelson in all the mock drafts. Austin Martin, who the best name in baseball, you know, the sports car, he could be the best player in the draft, but he's not going to go number one, right?
I don't think so. I would say it's about 80% that the Tigers who pick first select Torkelson, and 20% that they do something else. Most likely Austin Martin, if they do something else. There's some non-zero chance they take Asa Lacy, who is a lefty at Texas A&M and the best pitcher in the draft class. But it seems like they've been settled on Torkelson all along. And when I've spoken to teams drafting behind them, they say, we're assuming they're taking Torkelson. We haven't heard anything to the contrary.
I love Asa Lacy. He should be the first pitcher taken. A big upside for him. I love the name. They're good names here at the top of the draft. I like these names.
Yes, Torkelson's a great name. I agree with you. Every time I see Austin Martin, I also think of the sports car. And he should walk up to James Bond music. Yeah, there are some excellent names in the draft class this year.
Now, looking at what you wrote on The Athletic earlier today, you did maybe the top 30 players in the draft on different criteria, and Tyler Soderstrom, who a lot of people think the Giants are going to take, you had him way down on the list. Why was that?
Well, he doesn't have a position. He is a high school catcher right now, but he's not going to catch at the next level. Nobody I talk to thinks he's going to catch. Everyone seems to think he's going to hit, and that's important. That's probably the most important thing for a high school position player prospect. But he has to move to another position. He has worked out at third base, but I wouldn't call him a third baseman yet. And there's always a chance you take him and he ends up in an outfield corner or even at first base. Now, if he absolutely mashes at the plate, doesn't really matter, right? In the end, the bat will carry him at any position. However, you'd feel a lot better about him if you knew where he was going to play. And I have long had this practice on my rankings, especially with high school players who have no known position, and we already know they're not going to play in the middle of the field, I rank them a bit lower because the risk associated with them is so much higher. It's not like a shortstop. Well, he can't play it short, but there's so many other positions a shortstop could potentially move to where he'd still have positional or defensive value. With Soderstrom, we just don't know that yet and probably won't know until he's able to go into pro ball and start playing.
So do you see the Giants taking him? Because they're, if they don't, there's Garrett Mitchell from UCLA, who I love. Maybe has the most speed in the draft. Cade Cavalli out of Oklahoma, a right-handed pitcher, throws bullets, as you say. There's a group of three or four that could fall to the Giants if they don't take Soderstrom. So what do you think is going to happen?
Well, if they don't take him, and I've had them taking him in all my mocks because I just keep hearing he's one of their at least top targets, if not their number one target. The other name I've heard a bit with them is Nick Bitzko, who's a right-handed high school pitcher from Bucks County, Pennsylvania, about an hour and change away from where I am right now. It would surprise me a bit if Farhan was okay with taking a high school pitcher in the top half of the first round. I know he's more than familiar with the history of high school pitchers in the first round and would probably be fine spending on high school pitching, but just not with the first pick, maybe with subsequent picks. But I do keep hearing that he's one of their top targets. And there was an early rumor linking them to the University of Tennessee lefty Garrett Crochet, another great name, who's been up to 99 with a plus-plus slider, but only pitched once this spring, a three-inning outing that not a lot of scouts attended because it wasn't announced. And so not many people saw him this year. He was less scouted. As it is, we didn't scout a lot of these guys this spring just because of the shutdown. But at least most college pitchers had a couple of outings. Crochet pitched just once, and his track record of performance is only so-so, probably not really good enough for him to normally go in the top half of the first round.
Well, so if you had to put your money on it, where do you put your money?
I still say Soderstrom. Now, I'm going to do another mock draft the day of the draft on Wednesday morning, and maybe I'll change by then. I'm already starting to hear some different things from the mock that I had that I posted on Wednesday. And as we get closer to, teams will start to disclose to other teams, oh, here's who we're probably taking. It's a bit of a professional courtesy so you can plan. You know, if you know certain players aren't getting to you, you might plan differently and even start negotiating with players or their advisors to try to get deals done beforehand. That's incredibly important this year. Nobody wants to take a player and then find out you can't sign him after the selection, not in this economy. And so I think I'll find out a lot more before then, but I have not heard anything to make me change the pick from Soderstrom since Wednesday.
All right. Keith Law with us, The Athletic. We'll look forward to the mock draft on Wednesday. Can't wait to see it. Anytime you have one of your articles, it's always interesting the way you present it as well. Looking at the draft for the Giants, seven picks in the five rounds, are they in the best position of any team around having these extra picks?
I think the Orioles and Royals probably have a little more of an advantage because they each have three picks in the top 40 or 41. I think the Orioles pick at 30. They have a competitive balance pick. They pick again at 39. They're going to walk out of this draft with two and maybe even three real first-round talents, depending on money and who they're specifically targeting. That said, the Giants having those extra picks and having the extra money associated with those picks is absolutely a big advantage. And they've got a chance to really boost this farm system, which you and I've talked before. I already think they've done a great job boosting the farm system. I think it could take a pretty big leap forward because most of your value in the draft comes in the first couple rounds anyway. The shorter draft, it stinks. I'm not a fan of it. But in terms of the strength of your farm system, most of the value you get is going to come in the first three rounds anyway. And I think the Giants could really do some damage by moving their money around and potentially getting multiple first-round talents with those seven picks.
Boy, exciting. How's my Jose Altuve lookalike from New Mexico State, though? My little infielder, how's he doing?
You know, Nick Gonzalez got off to a great start, and they played about 4,000 feet above sea level, so that helps quite a bit, too. He started to hit for more power this year. Then his very last series of the season was against Texas A&M, including Asa Lacy, and that was in College Station in Texas, so he had to play basically at sea level for the first time. And it wasn't great. Now, I still think Gonzalez is going to go in this top six, maybe seven picks at the absolute worst. But there are definitely some questions about him that weren't there after the first or second weekend when he came out like a house on fire and people thought he might go as high as second overall. I think the fact that he didn't look as good when facing better pitching and not playing in Las Cruces just caused some teams to back off and say, well, he's good. He's just not in that uppermost echelon with Torkelson, Martin, Lacy, or even Minnesota right-hander Max Meyer, who's got a chance to go fifth or sixth or somewhere between five and seven in the draft, let's say.
Well, great, great report, Keith, as always. I'm going to be watching Gonzalez and, of course, the different names that you brought up, the Tennessee player as well. These are names that may not go to the Giants. They could go somewhere else. Obviously, they're going to go highly in the draft, but it's fun to follow them after you've given the scouting report. So great job, and look forward to it. I appreciate you coming on, and I know this is going to be a big week for you, so we'll follow you on The Athletic, and I appreciate all your insight. I appreciate it a lot.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
All right. That is Keith Law of The Athletic. Boy, good information. We got a lot of names to follow coming up on Wednesday. That's the way I love to do this. And we'll see what the Giants do, but we've got about five or six or seven different names in the middle of the draft to see where they go. And that's part of the fun of what's coming up on Wednesday. All right. More coming up. KNBR 680, 1045, The Sports Leader.